Last week was midterm exam week. And last Sunday, during Sunday school, we prayed for the college students. The college students had exams, midterm exams. Although we prayed for them, still it was a tough week for most of them. And I know, maybe at least for one night, the college students didn't sleep well to prepare for the exam or a huge project. And some of them, I think, only slept for 2 or 3 hours per day for a few days. And that's really tough. So I thank God that this week is over and you're here to worship God together. Life is really tough. But I want to share with you, especially the young people, even the older ones, you should have experienced that. Life only gets tougher when you get older. Now in school, for students, the toughest time is exam time. You know what? In the future, not only do you need to study, you also need to work. There are more demands because there will be work projects, there will be deadlines. If you don't meet the deadlines, in a sense, you're dead. You might be fired, you might lose your job, you might not have the money to pay for rent and all the other expenses. Life gets tougher, and there are more challenges. You have work, and then it's time for you to get married. And you're planning for your wedding. Guess what? More deadline to be for a wedding. Wedding planning can be very, very challenging. If you are one of those, you know what I'm talking about. You know what? Missing a wedding planning deadline does not just affect you, but your future husband or wife, and actually two families, and also all the family and relatives who are having high expectations of the most beautiful day of your life. But if you miss the deadline, guess what? You might not be able to have the wedding. That will cause another disappointment. See, in life, life gets more and more complicated as you get older. There are more and more challenges. I can keep, telling you more stories. As you get married, it gets even tougher. As you get married with kids, it's more complicated. Life is tough, and I find out that even as Christians, we face similar challenges because we all only have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And yet, life in the 21st century is getting more and more complicated. Sometimes it's just so overwhelming. Sometimes we just feel burned out. I feel even as a Christian, as a minister of God's word, I struggle with time management a lot. How can I manage my time better so that I can indeed live out the promise that God has given each one of us to have true freedom, to have true joy in our lives? Instead of feeling like I am a slave to the demands of this world, either of your work, of your studies, or in life, even in the family, sometimes you feel suffocated by so many demands. So I've been praying for God's guidance. Actually, last Sunday, we had Sunday school, and I asked people pray for my time management. And I prayed to ask God to give me His Word to be my guidance, to manage my time better, also to be a guidance to all of you. And God is faithful. He gave me His Word. And I'm amazed how much I've learned and from this passage I'm going to share with you. And I believe if we are willing to practice that, we will be able to manage our time according to God's will. If you have your Bible, please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18 are the verses that we'll look at today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. One of the letters written by Paul the Apostle. Today we'll just look at the Bible. I don't have any sermon slides, so that we can just focus on looking at the Bible and be familiar with your Bible. Let me read this passage to you. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 to 18 says that, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, or according to King James, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. First of all, we'll see one main command from this passage. The main command is that we need to be very careful, in verse 15, then how we live our life every day. Be very careful, not careless. You think about what you do every day, and you do it very cautiously. Verse 16 says that making the most of every opportunity. Here it's talking about manage our time well, redeeming the time. What does it mean? According to King James Version, that's a more literal translation of Greek. Redeeming the time. How do we redeem the time? If you have your Bible, you can open to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. In the New Testament, the word redeem, translated as redeem, was mentioned in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I'll read that to you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Redeem has the meaning of purchase, to buy. Christ redeemed us so that we will not be cursed because of our own sins. The penalty of that is eternal death in hell. But not only did Christ die for our sins and rose from the dead to redeem us from our sins' punishment, but he also redeemed us, verse 14, in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might also receive the promise of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, who give us all wisdom to live this life wisely, according to God's will. If you also refer your Bible to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, same book, go to chapter 4, verse 4. Mentioned redeem again, and a promise God has for us, those who are redeemed by Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. See, the demands of this life can be so suffocating that we feel like we are slaves, but it is God's will that we do not live like we are a slave. We are free from sin, and we should be free from even the demands of this world if we have the wisdom from God to manage our time well. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead so that we will not be punished for our own sins, have to have eternal life, but also that we can live a holy life, a life that is free from the slavery of sins and of the evil of this world. So redeem here means that it is by the power of God that we can redeem or buy back time that will be used by evil if we don't use it according to God's will. NIV metaphorically translate that to say that using our time well, making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. Why should we manage our time according to God's will, making the most of every opportunity? Verse 16 explains why. I just slightly mentioned that earlier. Verse 16 says that, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. You can go back to Ephesians now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says that, because the days are evil, the reason that we should be careful, very careful, with our daily living, to make the most of the time that we have, is because the days are evil. In other words, it's saying that time flies by. As I get older, I feel time just goes by so fast, much faster than when I was a kid. And while I was suffering in school, I felt school was time was so slow. But now, I'm enjoying the time to serve God, and as an adult, sometimes I feel time flies by too fast. The fact is, when time is flying by, if you don't catch it, you don't use it well for God, evil would use it. Because the days are evil. So, evil, Satan the devil, is competing with us in the usage of our time. You don't use it well, Satan will use your time. Evil will use your time. And you will use your time for evil. So here I see the cause of bad time management. One of the causes is that we use our time in the wrong things. We use up all our time in the wrong things. We might have been busy for evil. We might have been busy for things that are not beneficial to us in God's eyes. Think about that. If we use up our time in the wrong places, even the so-called not wrong places, the neutral things like watching TV, instant messaging, Facebooking, or other hobbies during the many weeks before the midterm exams or the final exams, you use up all your time. Guess what? When exam comes, you only have 1 week to study, and you have to sacrifice your sleep time. Guess what? I don't think you can do very well if you just use 1 week to study what you're supposed to study for many weeks. And this can be a vicious cycle. If you don't manage your time well, to use your time in what God wants you to use, instead of using that in all the wrong places, or in many even neutral things, you don't have time to do good for God. As a result, when the next wave of exams come, it is another vicious cycle of sacrificing your sleep. There was a seminary professor. When we were in seminary, we faced even greater challenges because it was very demanding to study in Dallas Theological Seminary. So much schoolwork. But the professor said that, are you prostituting your body in order to get good grades? Are you sacrificing your sleep to just sleep two, some of them sleeping even less every day in order to get good grades? Do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? How can you prostitute your body like that in order to get good grades because you did not manage your time well? That does not please God. You know what? In the long run, you're going to suffer. You're young, you think that I can't have all-nighters for the whole week, just sleeping, you know, a little here and there, taking some naps. But I know some very intelligent men and women. They're very intelligent, but now they're living depending on social welfare because now they have mental problems. I believe if you don't manage your time well, you don't manage your body well, your body will suffer. Ultimately, you have physical and mental health issues, and you will not be able to do anything. Most importantly, if we don't manage our time well, because guess what? We won't have time to be spent with God. Through prayer, reading, meditating on God's word, and doing God's word, and get outside the four walls of the church. On Sunday we come here. But it is God's will that we get outside the four walls of the church to reach out to a hurting world who have not heard who Jesus Christ is, and that they can be saved by believing in Jesus Christ alone. Many people are hurting, even in Baton Rouge. So we must reconsider how we use our time. How are we using our time? Are we spending time in the wrong places, filling up our time? And we think that we're busy, and yet we're busy for nothing. If you continue to read, verses 15, 17, 18 gives us what we can do to manage our time well, according to God's will. Verse 15 says, not as unwise, but as wise. Three nots and three buts. 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit. Three nots and three buts. And we'll look at what that means and how that relates to us so that we can manage our time well, according to God's will. First, not as unwise, but as wise. What does that mean? What does it mean to be wise? Wisdom is what is written a lot in the Bible, especially by King Solomon, in Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, also in the book of James. See, the call to live wisely is not a call for you to gain more theoretical knowledge alone. Many people think that I gain more knowledge, I will be wiser. Many people who have a lot of knowledge, they are not very wise. They live a very messy life. So here it is a call for moral discernment, understanding, and being able to have practical skill in making the right decisions in God's eyes. Wisdom is not just knowledge, but with that knowledge you have understanding, and then you have practical skill in making the right decisions in your life according to God's will. Please open your Bible to James chapter 3 verse 13. James chapter 3 verse 13. Let me read it. James chapter 3 verse 13 says that, who is wise and understanding among you? If you claim that you're wise and understanding, let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. And then James 3:17 further explains what this wisdom is. James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, from God, is first of all pure or holy, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial or without uncertainty, and sincere or without hypocrisy. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. If I have to summarize these verses, I'll say that wisdom is skillful living that results in righteousness. Wisdom is skillful living that results in righteousness in God's eyes. So the key is to have heavenly wisdom if we want to be able to manage our time well, so that we will not become slaves of the many demands in your life. How can we be wise? To be wise in using our time, we must understand what the Lord's will is. That's why verse 17 says that. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Here, the Lord is referring to Jesus Christ. As in verse 8, 10, 20, and also 19, also refer to Jesus Christ. Whenever we talk about the will of the Lord, most people would think about, God, what's your will for me, for my future husband or my future wife? God, what's your will for me, for my future career? We're thinking about those big decisions in our life. That's the time we need to seek the Lord's will. But here in the text, that's not what it means. Seeking not the Lord's will only in those big decisions. But what it means here is that we seek God's will for the way we live every day, not just when we face a big decision in our life. We seek the Lord's will for us every day about what is pleasing to you, God, today. And let me do it. Maybe we will not have so much trouble in making big decisions if we are used to discerning God's will throughout our life every day, instead of waiting for that time that we need to make a big decision and then, God, what's your will for me? Seek God's will every day, and you will be able to hear God's voice when it's time for you to make a big decision for God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. If you have a Bible, open your Bible to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Tells it better than I do. It says that, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. It is a daily activity, not just when you are facing a big decision. Holy, offering everything to God. That is the spiritual act of worship. It applies every day, in every decision, not just when you come to worship. Even when you come to worship, your proper attitude is not how much I can get from today's worship service, how much I can learn from the preacher, but how much you can give to God, your whole being, from your heart to your mind and your spirit. God, I am here. I'm here to praise you. I'm here to meditate on you, and I'm here to be willing to be transformed by you. That's the spiritual act of worship. And verse 2 says that, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we know can be achieved by understanding God's word in the Bible. In every aspect of our life, we need to seek God's will. What is your will in this area or that area? And after I have known that, understood that, I ask God to transform my mind so that my mind will not be preoccupied by the worldly secular values, but instead be transformed into God's values for us. The result is that then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will, not just for big decisions in your life, but for your daily living, to live a holy life that's pleasing to God. I suggest that, including myself, if possible, every day spend some time to just sit down prayerfully and look at how we have spent our time. Ask God, what is pleasing to God? What is not pleasing to God? Ask God, what is important in your eyes, God? What is not important in your eyes? I only have 24 hours. I cannot do everything, God, but what is important in your eyes? But make sure, first of all, you set aside time for God. Set aside time for God. If that is not there, I'm afraid other elements would not fit in place. Then ask if you are doing everything well to please God. I found out that people have a tendency to want to be involved in many, many, many activities. The more we are involved in, we think that the more successful I am. So whenever someone asks you to do something, you say yes, 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 yes. And then you become very popular. Many people know about you. And yet, the problem is that you end up sometimes doing very sloppy jobs in this or that. Sometimes you no-show for an appointment because you have overbooked yourself. I see that it takes a lot of wisdom for us to know what is God's will for me. What should I say yes to? What should I say no to? Even that seems to be a good thing, because you only have this much time. If you cannot give your best gift 100% to everything that you do for God, even if you are involved in many things, you are not being faithful to God. So that might mean that we need to give up some things in our lives, even that seems to be good, but not better, not the best in God's eyes. That might mean that you do not register as many classes as your other classmates who try to challenge themselves to limit 21 units or more, try to finish college in 3 years instead of 4. You know what? If you try to do that, you will not have time for God. You will not have time for other things. And you will not have time to really do well, prepare well, give your 100% to the classes that you are taking. You have followed the pattern of this world. People think the more the better, but that's not true. Whatever you do your best for God. That is what is pleasing to God. That is what faithfulness is about. Maybe you should work less in order to free yourself up, to have more time to be spent with God and to do what God wants you to do, including reaching out to the hurting people in this world. Maybe live a simpler life. We want to own so much. Even if you have 2 jobs, some people still feel, I still don't have enough money. Maybe the key is that we are living such a complicated life that you need so much, and yet many of the things you don't really need. So to be wise in using our time, we must understand what the Lord's will is daily. But it's more important not only to understand God's will for you daily, but to live out God's will. And this requires that we, verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, or wasteful living, wasting your time for nothing, wasting your time for something that has no value in God's eyes. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Have you been drunken before? Have you even touched alcoholic drinks? I did before, and there was one time when I was just a teenager. I drank half a bottle of wine, rice wine, in mainland China, and I did not remember what I did after that. Some people said I did some foolish things, said some foolish things. The fact is, when you're drunken, you will lose control of your body and your mind. And you'll do many foolish things that hurt yourself and hurt others. When it comes to time management, drunkenness is a big enemy for time management. Why? Because when you are drunken, time management requires a clear mind and discipline. Someone who is drunken does not have a clear mind. That person is confused. That person cannot discipline himself. Thinking about the severe consequences of drunkenness, every day how many accidents there are caused by drunk drivers. I suggest that if you have a tendency to get addicted to alcoholic drinks, if you have touched it one time and you feel like I want more, that's a sign you might be very easily addicted to drinking wine, alcoholic drinks. I would suggest that if that's the case, you try to avoid drinking any alcoholic drinks at all. That's why I touch not alcoholic drinks, because I know I have the tendency. I've tried that before and I wanted more. No, I don't want to get drunken. As a result, I stopped from even touching alcoholic drink. Not that touching alcoholic drink is sin, but it caused me to be drunken. That is sin in God's eyes. And that will cause me to not be able to manage my time well while I need clear mind and discipline. And the wine does the opposite. While getting drunk on alcoholic drinks results in lack of control, loss of control, and wasteful living, and therefore bad time management, there are many other things that are like alcoholic drinks, if you think about that. Anything that controls our body or mind, that is like alcoholic drinks. If you have a tendency to be addicted or to be controlled by those things, again, I would suggest that you avoid those things. Some of these things are neutral, but if you have a very strong tendency to be addicted to this, avoid these. You see that what I will mention, they are very neutral. It depends on how you use them. But if you can be very easily controlled by these, I would rather say that you avoid these. For example, materialism, shopping, mauling, spectator sports, TV, computer, video games, surfing the web, instant messaging, Facebooking, and many other things. If you can control yourself to bring good, to glorify God in doing these, go ahead. But if you have a tendency to be addicted to and to be controlled by these, as a result, you will not have time to study for your next wave of exams, end up again prostituting your body for the requirement of the school, I suggest that you avoid these. So to be wise in using our time, we must understand what the Lord's will is on a daily basis. Not be controlled by anything, but except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, it says that, instead, be filled with the Spirit. According to the NET Bible, it says that, but be filled by the Spirit. Why is there a difference in the translation? The NIV translation mainly focuses on bringing out the meaning. Sometimes the grammatical structure is not literal, word by word. And here, the NIV translation seems to give us a sense that we are like a container that is not filled. And the content of filling is the Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit fill you. That is not full of the Holy Spirit. But if you read the Bible, that's not what the Bible says. We have received 100% of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:15, it says that, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. We do not just receive a percentage of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit in full. Studying the grammar of the Greek words that was translated, filled with the Spirit, reveals that a better translation would be, I will look at some Bible verses to show you that, a better translation would be that to be filled by means of the Holy Spirit. To be filled by means of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a means for God to fill us. Then I ask the question, what is the content of filling us? What fills us through the Holy Spirit? If you have your Bible, in the same book, Ephesians, Paul mentioned that. So, the best way to understand God's will is with God's word. And to understand a particular verse, if possible, in the same book, immediate context, that will tell us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So the content of filling here is the fullness of God. What does it mean? It means the moral character or attributes of God that is a heart issue. To be transformed in our heart, we have the character of God. In other words, I can say that these are the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, put it in another way. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, to have the holy character of God. That's what the Holy Spirit will help us to fill our heart with. Then who fills believers with God's fullness? Same book, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. It says that Jesus Christ, this is Jesus Christ, who descended, is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Jesus Christ is the person who does the filling. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. The purpose is that so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Fullness of God. Christ is God. To the fullness of Christ. So Christ is the person who does the filling through the Holy Spirit. So if I have to put that together, believers are to be filled by Jesus Christ by means of the Holy Spirit with the content of the fullness of God. Believers are to be filled by Jesus Christ by means of the Holy Spirit with the content of the fullness of God, having the character and attributes of God. How often should we be filled by the Holy Spirit? Some people think it is a once for all experience. Once you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, then that's it for the rest of your life. But I see analyzing the tense of the Greek word be filled, that's the Greek present tense, that means an ongoing action. You need to repeatedly, continually be filled by the Holy Spirit. Be filled by means of the Holy Spirit with the content of the fullness of God. And Christ is the person who does the filling. I see that only when we continually and repeatedly pray to God, the Father, to ask our Lord Jesus Christ to fill us with the fullness of God through the Holy Spirit, then we'll be able to manage our time well, according to God's will. You know what? If you don't do that, evil will fill us and our time, and you'll waste your time. That's on Friday Bible study. We talk about many of you students are stressed out by exams here in school, but there is yet a more important exam. That's the time that we see Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. We all need to show Christ our works. That's the ultimate exam that we need to face. Are we prepared for that exam? Do you know how much time you have left? Nobody knows how much time we have in our hands. It's in God's hands. So when we have time, let's be prepared for this exam instead of letting evil use our time. When we see Christ, we will not be called good and faithful servants. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, You're the ultimate provider of everything that we need for our good. I ask for wisdom of time management, and you gave me your word that has given me, and I pray that also has given each congregation member more than they need, than they think that they need. Thank you for letting us understand your word that shows us indeed we need to manage our time well. But for the very reason, because the days are evil, if we don't use our time well, evil would use our time. And we cannot afford that, because we want to be faithful to you. We want to be called faithful and good and faithful servants when we see your face. That's the big exam we all need to be prepared for. And I thank you because you have given us what we need to prepare for this exam. Because you have given us the Holy Spirit. I also thank you because Christ is the one who is helping us so that by means of the Holy Spirit we can be conformed to be more like our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ in His character, in His holiness. Help us to transform our heart first, that there be no sin inside and there will be no sin outside, and what we do will all be pleasing to you. I also pray that you give us a desire, a holy desire for God every day, because only then when we see God's face, God will give us the heavenly wisdom to manage our time well. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.